You know, some people are going to miss heaven by only 18 inches. Do you know that it's only 18 inches from the head to the heart? And you see what, you look around and you see everybody and they come to church. And going into a church really doesn't make you any more of a Christian than going into a garage makes you a car. There needs to be something that transpires. There needs to be an encounter with Jesus Christ that will change your life. He starts out by making us a brand new creature in Him. But you know, the very foundation, I like to preach bottom line gospel is what I like to preach. Let me give you an illustration of what I mean by bottom line gospel. Every one of us here tonight are going to live forever and ever. The only thing in question is location. That's the bottom line, isn't it? And a lot of times we fuss amongst ourselves and we get wrapped up in different churches. Sometimes two churches can't get along in the same town of the same denomination. And then we fuss about different things, but we need to center on what God wants to do. And where is the center of it? The Bible talks about the heart. We just passed Valentine's Day. The heart. Jeremiah has some very interesting things to say about the heart. I'm reading from chapter 17, verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful. And it says, above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The Bible says, bottom line gospel is this, is it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. The judgment for what? The judgment is going to be upon each and every one of us for the things that we do in our life. And the Bible talks about the heart. I looked it up in the Greek, and it really means the inner thoughts and feelings of our being. And this is where we come to the place where the Bible says that the secrets, the things done in secrets will be made known on the housetops. That He gives each and every one of us a scoop shovel in this life to clean out our heart. It's called repentance. And if we will use that scoop shovel to cleanse our hearts and to judge ourselves, He says we will not be judged. You know, there's ladies and men that have told me about their mates. They've lived a lifetime with a person they never knew. Because the heart is a place, number one, of secrecy. Have you ever seen a girl walk up to the other girl and say, my, you're beautiful tonight? But down inside she's saying, I hate her, I hate her, I hate her. Huh? Have you ever had ladies over and they said, I just love to wash those dishes, but I'm sorry I have to go. And they said, I can't wait to get out of here. Because you see, what comes out of the mouth necessarily isn't always the true indication. The Bible says that, yeah, I'll be talking about that in a little bit, about the treasure of the heart. But right now, the place of the heart is a place of secrecy. Now, you can hide that from your mate. You can hide it from your community. You can hide it from your pastor. But God knows the heart of everyone. He knows those inward feelings. He knew you. He saw you in the womb before you were even created, the Psalms tells us. And God knows about it, and He knows how you feel, because He's a high priest that was touched with the infirmities and feelings like we are. The Bible says over here, it says, oh, there are so many good scriptures here. It says, not only is it a place of secrecy, but it's a place of peace or perplexity. Jesus says, peace I give you, not as the world gives. You know, there's nothing that takes the place of peace. You know what the Bible actually says in Proverbs 16? It says, when the ways of a man please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. And when you have peace, this is the enjoyment of going through life, because the Bible says we have peace with God through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ is the only place for peace. The Bible says in the last days, men's hearts are going to fail them Because of whatever can be shaken will be shaken in the last day. And we are coming into that. Matter of fact, the last Charisma magazine, what did you see in the front cover? You have people today that are believing in pre-trib. Some believe in mid-trib. Some believe in post-trib. Some believe you're already in it. We have people today teaching all sorts of doctrines. And the Bible says in the last days that there's going to be... people are going to be deceived. It says even the very elect are going to be deceived. What can we stand on today that's true? We can stand on soul winning in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you see what's happening today is that people are all caught up in the me syndrome. The great, the mighty me. There never will be another like the great, the mighty me. The other night I was telling Pastor that I was in a church. And we came there, the church called us in to preach a revival, to get the saints geared up. And I said, how many of you would... Now, we're there for the purpose. The church has called us in. Now, their body of believers is in this church. How many of you would invite 10 people tomorrow? Not even one hand. Peradventure, 5. Not one hand. Peradventure, how many of you will show up? Not one hand. With commitment like that, you can't go wrong. Why? Why aren't people committing themselves to... You know why they're not committing themselves to it? Because their schedules are so full that they can't crowd in another thing. And what happens in your closet when it gets so full that you can't shove something in and close the door behind it like Fibber McGee's closet? You have to go in and clean it out and set a new list of priorities again. And you know something? In the heart is a place where there's joy. In the heart. You know that we have, Pastor, we have so many Christians that going around and they've lost the joy. You know where joy comes from? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy. Where do you get the joy? You know where joy comes in? When did joy come into your heart? Joy came into your heart when you found Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's when the joy came into your heart. Remember how you got up and you said, wow, wait till everybody hears about this. I've got Jesus in my heart. And remember how you went out and you testified? You didn't have 16 soul-winning classes on how to. You just went out and you just started sharing Jesus. I don't know what happened to me. I went down there and somebody prayed with me. And you started bringing people to church and they started getting saved. And people stood up and the tears running down their cheeks. And man, the audience started to weep because of the fact that you were contagious because you had that new first love of Jesus Christ. And what happens is the old devil comes along and he operates on you in life, and he comes along and you knock up against this problem and you come up against this problem over here, and after a while someone says to you and cuts you in church, and you say, if that's a Christian, I don't have any part to do with it. And then you start talking about it, and pretty soon you find yourself wrapped up in this big circle, and that joy, that first new joy of Jesus is gone in your life. And you find yourself back in church, sitting through the service with service mentality. You know what the Bible says? That out of your heart is where the treasure is. You know what people really believe in, they support. You know, if I could find a gospel that would have motorcycles and motorboats, I could get a fabulous offering. Because I see a lot of those going down the road. They believe in swimming pools. They believe in all of these different things. They believe in fancy cars. But what people really believe in, they support. I know, that's hard gospel. That's bottom line. But you see, out of the treasure of your heart, what are you speaking about? My wife and I were at home. And that was about a year or so ago, and this lady now is in Colorado. She came over to see my wife, and she was going through some struggles. And she started to share a few of these struggles with my wife. And my wife reached out, and she says, let me pray with you about it. And this lady started to break down and cry, and the tears ran down her cheek. And my wife looked at her, and she says, why are you crying? She says, I've lived in this city for over 2 years, and you're the first one that's offered to pray with me about the problem. You see, out of your heart flows what's in, out of your mouth flows what's in your heart. Because see, what you're talking about, are you tuned into, are you tuned into life? You know what the Bible warns us about? The Bible warns us about that the cares of life begin to crowd out. Now, let me tell you, cares of life are not wrong. There's going to be cares in life. It's when the cares in life take preeminence over what God wants you to do in His will. There's always going to be cares in life. That, like the Bible says, as in the days of Noah, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. There's nothing wrong with getting married or giving in marriage. Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. There's not anything wrong with these things. But if you've lost the vision for what's in your heart for the loss, this is what God is concerned about. How long has it been since we wept on our knees for someone who wasn't right with God? See, out of the treasure of your heart, the mouth speaketh. The fourth place in the heart is a place of response. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at your heart's door and knock." He wants into your heart. And what do?
I look God, I can do what I want.
Stubborn. See, we build that wall. But He says, I want, you know, why do you suppose the scripture says, "Behold, I stand at your heart's door and knock"? Why does someone knock at somebody's door? Isn't to get the attention of the one that's inside? Well, what happens if they come out here and they knock on the bus door and the music's turned up so loud on the inside I can't hear the knock? What happens if things are, we're in a heavy discussion and we don't hear them knocking? And that's why the Lord stands at our heart's door and knock. He's wanting to get our attention to let us know that He's wanting to come on into our heart. And you know what He does to get that attention? He takes... I look down, this little girl down here, and she's sweet. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever told a lie? How about you? Have you ever told a lie? You know, the reason why I say this about the little girl telling a lie is because sometimes, you see, that little conscience down the inside is so tender that you can look at a little girl, and she can tell you a lie. And then you can look at her and say, "Really?" And then you'll see this big tear running over her cheek because that little girl has a conscience and there is a what we call guilt on the inside that produces pain to the emotions of that little girl. And that little girl, that guilt and that pain will make her cry. That was an institution of what God created in our hearts. Because you see, when He created our bodies, are you a nurse at all? Do we have nurses here tonight? Yeah. When He created our body, in the end of your finger, I went in the other day and I had one of these cholesterol checks. I had the quickie one. And they were going to prick my finger. And I held it out there, and boy, I didn't want to look. Because here it's coming, and I knew I was going to feel it when they jab my finger, because there is a nerve ending in the finger that's going to let me know when she pricks it. Because it's going to say, my finger's going to say to my brain, there is pain going on here, let's get out of here. And you think something as serious as spending all eternity separated from God, that God would not put within inside of you some sort of feeling to let you know that there's something wrong on the inside, He mercifully, by His own creation, has built within your heart a feeling called guilt to let you know that there is definitely, there's no doubt. Either the Bible says we have peace or we have guilt. And that inside internal feeling of guilt to know, and that's put there by God, but you can overrule that. You can just keep doing wrong and keep doing wrong until where that doesn't even faze you, but God put it in there as original equipment. And He put that guilt in there to let you know that if you would die, that you would, whether you would go to heaven or not. And the Bible says we have peace with God. You know what the opposite of peace is? The opposite of peace is fear. And the Bible says that fear brings forth torment. If you have fear, you're in torment. And God doesn't want you to live a tormented life. He says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. And that's what I'd like to ask you tonight. When did you make peace with God? You know what the Bible says? When you come to Christ, that you pass from death unto life. How many believe that passing from death unto life would be a noticeable event? And you'd know it. Can we bow our heads? While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and nobody looking around, I'd like to know how many of you here tonight would say, Brother Larry, I know that I know that I know that I know that if I should die, I am at peace with God. I know that. Can I see your hands? Some of you didn't lift your hands. Some of you lifted very reservedly. Others of you didn't lift it at all. Friend, I didn't come here to get you to change a church or to leave a church. You know, the Bible says, all you that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I came here because I loved you. You see, Jonas Salk would have been judged criminally insane for withholding the polio vaccine that has almost completely eliminated the disease of polio. And there's a little formula called the blood of Jesus Christ that I'm telling you about tonight. Friend, that if you'll try it, if you'd be willing to pray a simple commitment prayer with me that can totally transform your life, it will remove the guilt. It's the only ingredient ever known to mankind to wash away yesterday and to ensure you of a tomorrow and a joy of living at this present time. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we're going to ask those of you that would either like to make a first-time commitment, or you'd like to reaffirm your vows of faith, or you'd like to make a private commitment, a public commitment, whichever way it is. Maybe you went through a catechism, a confirmation. Maybe you went through a vacation Bible school. You went to the altar, but you know that you've lost that first love. He wants to restore that tonight, whether it's first time or to reaffirm your vows or to make a private commitment, a public commitment. If you'd be willing to pray a prayer with me tonight, a simple commitment prayer, can I see your hands all over this auditorium? Yes, they're lifting them. Yes, I see the hands going up, waiting for you. Are you going to join these others that are lifting theirs to pray this commitment prayer? How many of you would say, yes, in the back, I see your hand. How many others are going to slip the hand up and say, this is my commitment. I want to pray this prayer. I want to be included in this prayer tonight. Can I see your hands? Jesus said, if you'll be a yes over here, I see your hands. Jesus said, if you'll be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. All of you that are lifting your hands, I want you reverently and quietly just to slip to your feet for this prayer. All of you that have lifted your hands along with our counselors, stand right now all over this auditorium. Yes, you lifted your hands. Stand to your feet. Yes. Waiting for you. How many others would say, Brother Larry, I can feel the Holy Spirit talking to my heart, and I know it's time for me to stand. Will you do it? Will you do it down in your heart if you know the Holy Spirit's talking to your heart? Are you going to stand to your feet and pray this with me tonight? I'd love to pray it with you. It'd be the greatest thrill in all the world for me to pray with you tonight. How many others will stand and pray this prayer with me? You'll join the others that are standing now, and you'll also stand and say, I want to pray this prayer with you. You know, friend, there are some here tonight that are possibly just scared. They want to stand, but they're scared. If you're seated here tonight, maybe you could lean to your left or to your right, and you could invite a friend to come. Say, I'll stand with you so you don't have to stand alone. Some of you that are standing, you could reach out and take a hand of a friend that's come with you. Say, would you stand with me? But you'd make an invitation to someone tonight and say, could I stand with you? Would you do it? To hearts here tonight. I still feel there's those that should stand. I'm going to only wait another minute. 1 minute from now, this invitation's over. Some of you young ladies, maybe God's speaking to your heart. We have 45 seconds left. We have 30 seconds left of this invitation. If you're going to stand, if God's talking to your heart, you know who you are. If he's producing that guilt down on the inside, he's asking you, he's nudging you by his Holy Spirit to stand. We're down to 15 seconds, and then we're going to pray. If you're going to stand, now's the time. Those of you that are standing, I want you to step out into the aisle and come on down for this prayer. All of you that are standing, come. These that have stepped forward. If you're seated in this auditorium, you didn't have the courage to get up and come, you can pray right where you're seated the same prayer that I'm going to pray with them. And if you believe it in your heart, the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made known unto salvation. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And as I lead them in this prayer tonight, they're going to pray. And if you want to join them, pray it along with us. But let's pray it aloud tonight as I lead you in this commitment prayer. All of you that have stepped forward, will you pray it after me? Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight in Jesus' name, confessing my sins. Father, I'm sorry for my sins. I cannot save myself. Lord, I've gone my own way again. Lord, and I've accumulated guilt. But Lord, the blood of Jesus is the only ingredient that has the potential and the power to cleanse away my guilt and my sins. Wash me with your blood, and I shall be whiter than snow. I love you, and I thank you for all you've done. Restore the joy. Restore the peace, the assurance. In Jesus' name, Amen.